Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have two amazing guests. Returning guest John Copples here.
Hell yes. Hey, Kate. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And first-time guest, CG Erickson.
Hey, folks.
Howdy doody, folks.
I'm awesome at this.
No, it dude, was he's true. Fucking killing it. You should see. He's adorable. He's squinting into the Skype.
No, it's
this
because
this is just what I look like. This is what I look like. I'm getting old. I squint at everything.
It's because he's doing this on his iPhone, so I feel like John and I have bigger screens right now.
I'm trying to see your tiny faces right now.
You look good.
So what's going on?
Okay, so we have different topics. The first, so we've all known each other since middle school, seventh grade. Well, I guess
Kate,
I knew
Kate was stacked in seventh grade.
Dude, she was.
In seventh grade. I think she was stacked before that, but I came to your school in seventh grade, and she was stacked as fuck in seventh grade. But that's all I remember about it.
CJ was the type of kid that would talk about it just boldly as if nobody was listening. He'd be on the bus like, Kate, that's the one with the big titties, right?
how dare you? That was not me at all.
I was like, this dude's all right.
Let's talk about how your guys' middle school friendship developed. Like, I guess it was seventh grade. You guys lived in the same neighborhood. How did the weightlifting start?
Well, so first off, in seventh grade, we were both on the tennis team. And we ended up being partners.
Number 13 and 14 out of 16 people on the tennis team. Number 13 and 14 doubles. We were the shit compared to other schools. We beat the shit out of other schools. We would have been like number 3 and 4 at a different school. But we went to an all-Jewish school where everybody knows how to play tennis.
Jews and Asians, and they've been getting lessons for like 9 years by the time we were playing.
They were so good it wasn't even fair. Me and John were just fucking around.
So the best part was that put us in the perfect position to always win and then make fun of the kids that we were playing against. So it was more bullying
session
than it was tennis.
We were number 15 and 16.
Right?
Number 15 and 16, we used to beat their asses and fuck with them all day. And then, no, but the other schools, we always used to beat their asses.
Yeah.
Because they weren't all Jewish and Korean schools. That's all I'm saying. I mean, just regular white guys aren't that good at it.
Yeah. White people don't intimidate me on a tennis court.
I like when you guys call white people. You're just Jewish because you're white people, but like you call people who aren't Jewish white people. I like that a lot.
My 5-year-old always makes fun of me for being Jewish, and I had to explain to her the other day that this means that you're half Jewish. And she lost it. She's like, wait a minute. So I'm half Jewish and half regular? I was like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, no, you get along with
why
her.
Why can't Jewish be the regular half? Why
that's can't what I was be like. Yeah.
Half Gentile and half regular.
You have to lie to your kids. I was like, honey, they're all regular.
No, and that's good. No, probably your Christian friends are just kind of have poisoned her a little bit, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. No, she went to Catholic preschool. Who knows what they teach her? I'm not sure. Or she sees my family.
Do they have Catholic,
like,
they have Catholic preschool?
Yeah, of course they do.
All right, I should have known that. I'm dumb.
they don't go from like a public pre-K. These are all, it's a pre-K thing. And now she's public and she's got to integrate with the Jews. Maybe she'll stop making fun of them now.
Okay. So.
I'm kidding. My kids are virtual.
I love the Jews. By the way, I love the Jews, and I'm full Gentile. So like, I'm a friend of Jews. Is there a card that I can get for that? I feel like there should be a card in your wallet where you can get discounts at places for that. Friend of Jews card. I went to mad bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs, dude. I went to like 35 of them.
Then I'm disappointed with your knowledge. Jews don't give discounts to anybody. Dude, I thought you knew
that. If I have a card saying I'm one of them, they're not going to hook it up?
Nah, there's so much self-loathing in the Jewish community. What are you talking about?
I'd like to remind all the listeners, I am Jewish. Just want to put that out there.
So these jokes are fine.
They're fine. Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not.
Guys, you guys bonded.
That's disgusting.
Oh my God.
Bonded over tennis. And then how did the whole workout thing start?
We just used to pump iron in my basement, like just bro sesh.
Yeah.
We're just like trying to get diesel. We watched Rambo movies and like Sylvester Stallone movies, and we were like, we want to get diesel like them.
I think what happened was you caught me jogging in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And you said like, wait, you jog? I'm trying to get into jogging. What if we work out and we jog and we just make this a part of our lives? Which is weird because outside of us playing tennis, it's not like we were boys at the time. We clicked really well playing tennis, but then we never hung out. So then Siege says that, and I'm like, yeah, like I was a chubby kid. I'm like, yeah, I'd like to pull it together. And like
I catch his chubby ass running circles around Dublin Hunt. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here, man? I gotta get with this kid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, by pumping iron, he meant, you know, pumping copster's ass in the basement. No, we got together and we worked out. But I think it's rare that in eighth grade, we were both like dead serious about it. We're like, all right, no, for real, 5 days a week, let's hit it. It's hit it hard, and we got kind of ripped.
Yeah, dude, I was so much more responsible as like a child. I can't believe how we're so scheduled and regimented and everything. It's because I was well taken care of by a family back then. Now I have to take care of myself.
Yeah, it makes it hard.
Yeah,
but it was good
times, though.
It gave me a whole foundation of self-esteem. It turned my whole life around. Seriously.
Aww.
It's true. Like, I started feeling better about myself. I had this, like, my new homie is, like, one of the cool kids. And I realized, like, oh, I'm funny, like, in real life. And then it's like, you know, I was always, like, flexing for people because I turned into a cocky fuck. You know, somebody, like, finds their mojo out of nowhere.
You got jacked quick as shit, though.
I did get
diesel as shit quick. So yeah, you were flexing on everybody. That was good. That was good stuff back then.
Insufferable. Like,
yeah,
just
yeah. And that's when you started turning into a real bully. That was awesome. I mean, yeah. Those were the days, though. Those were the days. The kids you used to hang out with, like, fuck you, dudes.
Like, yeah, they're they'd be like, Cobble, let's get together. I'm like, get together with these nuts. And then I'd just fucking flick them in their ears. It was
the
best.
Yeah. It was, especially when you use the D's nuts. You used it often. You use the D's nuts often. I mean, I feel like somebody should bring it back. It's not going to be me, but somebody should.
Yeah, somebody should. Kate?
I got yelled at for talking about having nuts and stuff.
No, it's not. You don't have to have nuts to say D's nuts.
Well, how? Like, what's the context? Like, how do you do that in a cool way?
You don't do it in a cool way. No one ever did it in a cool way. It wasn't ever cool, but people did it for a long time.
There's like a thing you say, and then it goes like, D's nuts. But like, what's the buildup?
The setups were always, go.
You're like, yo, check out D's. And then somebody comes over and D's nuts. You know, it's kind of like that.
I'll do it.
It wasn't. But like, no, it was funny because really, it got funny later when like everyone knew D's nuts already, and some people still fell for it. That was when it was funny as shit. When you still got them with the D's nuts, like in college.
You had to get people when they were least expecting it.
It's their life's over. Yeah. Like they're out of the fraternity.
That's how you know you're dealing with cool people. You kick them right out of the fraternity. Say, suck my dick, bro. You go out and you pick a fight with the Kappas.
I used to be about that life. Not anymore.
I bet you were the man in fraternity times. Were you in a fraternity?
Yeah.
Of course you were.
Yeah, I was in a fraternity. No, I pledged a fraternity, and our fraternity got dissolved before sophomore year when I was going to move into the house. It got dissolved.
Oh, for being too cool?
Yeah, let's say it's for being too cool. Not for like getting busted by the cops all the time. I don't know. I think we had to you weren't allowed to have like a keg at the crib, like, or unregistered parties or something like that. And like, yeah, we were a lot of fuck ups. I wasn't even in it yet. They were fuck ups. I just really wanted to be in it bed with them.
You were excited to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, I did it against my will. I hated it. I found out that all my friends were doing it, and I was like, oh shit, what's going to happen to me? I better kiss some of these guys' asses to try to get into this fraternity. And then the whole time I was pledging, I was like, I hate these losers. Because we were cool in high school. So then I went to college, and I had to prove to people that I was cool, and I resented it. I was like, I wish that, social media was around back then, so I could just show them my phone and be like, yo, check out how cool I was. Just let me into your stupid fraternity. I'm not trying to kiss your ass anywhere.
I mean, amen.
Yeah, I don't like having to go places and prove it again. Like, I'm cool. And then sometimes, if it's hard, I'm like, am I cool anymore? Like, I thought I was.
Well, doesn't it feel good to let go of that? Like, because I don't think I'm cool anymore, but more importantly, I don't think I care.
No, I can't let go of it. I care. I care if a little kid thinks I'm cool.
I know, so do I.
Your grandmom thinks I'm cool. I want to be cool to everyone.
So do I. God damn it.
I know. So I'm embarrassed in life a lot of the time when people don't think I'm cool now. Yeah. It's not as easy as it was back then.
No, it's more nuanced now.
Yeah.
I think you're both still super duper cool. I think I'm
Well, you just made it super duper gay. But no, thanks, Kate. You're great. You're a star in my book.
Okay. Siege isn't wrong.
Relating. But Kate, when did you become stacked, Kate? When did that happen? Because when I came into your life, you were already stacked. And then I wondered, when did this happen? You know, because it was early. Nobody else was stacked.
I guess sixth grade, fifth, maybe towards the end of fifth, I started developing. But then I think sixth grade, I started really getting boobs.
Holy jeez.
Yeah,
it's a lot of
control. It's a lot. It's to a take lot
for a young lady.
Woman.
Yeah, to deal with.
It is.
You I get attention from creepy guys.
No, like
for such the as ourselves.
I felt pretty safe with both of you. Yeah. No, because we had such a good group of friends back then that I never felt. Mm. Then at least really ever taken advantage of. High school, there are some shady stories I'm not going to share where I felt like some of the older dudes were actually pervier.
This is the place to share it if you're going to share. It's a safe place.
tell us about some of your trauma. It won't bring down the vibe.
I mean, I don't really want to. It'll bring down the vibe real fast. But there were
all right. That works. I can respect that. I can respect that if there are a lot of horror stories because you were stacked really early in life. I don't know how that is, but I can imagine it was hard.
And guys are terrible. That's true.
Well, it's not like I was totally... There's one circumstance where a dude was basically a rapist for real, but like... If I had like done something about it back then, he'd be fucked. But like, other than that, I feel like I owned my body and sexuality even young. Like, I feel like I was always kind of talking about sexual stuff pretty comfortably.
Oh, damn right you were. We were at the same lunch table in 10th grade, and it pretty much turned into like a 3-person conversation with a 15-person audience. It's just me, you, and Aston just talking crazy shit. And you were the wildest easily. And we like, I feel like you had a standing audience of like, I need to hear what Kate has to say today. And this is before people knew about podcasts. Like, you had your own podcast back then. It was live.
Yeah. But I wasn't doing it like on purpose to be like enticing. I would just you get pent up. You have to go to all of your subjects. Like, you're not allowed to talk. I was always getting in trouble because I wanted to talk. And then you go to lunch. And I was like, with all my fucking friends, not Siege, which sucked, but like, because you were like nerdy.
I was in Christian school.
The coolest kid in Christian school.
It's not that cool to be the coolest kid in Christian school.
Yeah.
I'm sure it felt cool.
That sucked.
You're sure not getting laid when you're the coolest kid in Christian school. I'll tell you that much.
Want to get laid then. You were like waiting till marriage, which is cute.
Yeah. Jesus told me to.
Yeah. So.
Was it an all boys school?
No. There were just chicks who wouldn't let you bang them.
You weren't really trying.
He wasn't.
No, I wasn't. Jesus told me not to bang chicks until I was married. And so I listened.
Oh back my gosh. Then.
I listened to until I stopped.
Yeah.
Listening.
You were still getting it on. Like, other than
I was like
penetrating, but
what are you talking about? The summer?
Well, okay, we can talk about that. I was just saying in general, you were still getting ass. Like, you weren't like a prude, like you just weren't having sex.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I was getting fondled a good bit.
Fondled.
I would get fondled often enough.
This sounds traumatic too.
Yeah.
No, I was down with it. But like, that's all it could be, good fondling, because Jesus doesn't approve of more than that.
Well, CG, if you want to talk about your summer of 99, he was a lifeguard wearing Cape May.
I didn't know this was going to come up exactly. You were just talking about, did you get some?
It was a exciting summer.
Well, yeah, I was a lifeguard, and I just started lifeguarding, and like, I would tell the other guards that I sat with, like, yeah, I'm a virgin until I'm married, and they were like, damn, man, for real, you know, they thought that was ridiculous because they were just lifeguards to get laid, and then they said like, at least I could start like going down on chicks, like you have to go down on chicks, and I was like, oh yeah, and I was just like, oh, all right, these guys are cool, yeah, I'll just start, so like. Every chick, because it was pretty easy to pull chicks off the beach, you know, hey, come to our party tonight. So like 4 nights a week, I was going down on some strange girl. I just went straight down, kissed the lips for like about 3 seconds, and then went straight down. And I had a way to do it too. They told me you're supposed to kiss down their belly on the way down. And that's how you do it. That's the romantic way to do it. And so like I practiced for like a summer. Like a full summer, I was just eating box for like a full summer. Like anyone's. And I thought there was no shame in it. Now I'm
because you were just ashamed. In training.
Yeah, that's what they told me. They were just like, you gotta practice, bro. And I was like, yeah, all right, bro. And like I figured
you used some
cool,
of that
like,
discipline that you got in the basement with me. And you were like, listen, 5 days a week, stay on the schedule.
That's exactly how it was. And it was funny because, like, since I couldn't bang them because, like, I was waiting until I was married, I just go down on them for, like, you know, 15 minutes and then, like, get up and bounce. God. Like, I didn't really know what to say after that. I just kind of like get up and bounce, wipe my mouth off. They're obviously expecting we're going to bang, I would think.
Do you think that these ladies are talking about it to this day? Like, yeah, I got with a lifeguard once. It was the weirdest thing. He went down on me. He kissed down my body and counted 1, 2, 3. And then went down. And as soon as I came, he bounced.
No, and a lot of them will say, even before I came, he bounced. Most of them. Because he wasn't real good at it. He was in training.
But you just popped in and popped out. You're like a Bill Murray story. But instead of you being a celebrity, you're just a box muncher.
Yeah, no. I really hope that some girl out there is listening to this podcast. And she's like, hey, remember me? You know, because I think that's a really nice thing to do, is to just go down and pleasure them. And they didn't even ask. And then bounce.
God bless you, man. It is a nice thing to do.
It's good to have good friends like you, Koppel. And I don't think Kate gets it, but it's good to have somebody who understands me.
It's
dude, okay. I just understand what it means to be a good person. That's all.
Oh my God.
I mean, if Kate doesn't get it, I'm sorry, but yeah. America needs more men like you.
Thanks, man.
It's true. The world would be a happier place.
It would. I feel like the men wouldn't be happier. They'd just be like, they're kind of slaves. I was kind of a slave that summer. Like, I was putting in work. Like, everybody else is enjoying it. It's like being a bartender. Like, everybody else is having fun except you.
Yeah, except you weren't, like, leaving with $300 either.
Exactly. No, I was leaving more broke than I was when I came, because I had to buy him a coffee or a fucking cotton candy on the boardwalk or something. You know what I'm saying?
So, like, did you save any lives that summer?
Oh, yeah, you go in all the time. They send you in to get people all the time. And sometimes it'll be a little kid, and he'll be like, no, I'm fine. And then you drag him in, and he's like, fuck you. Because he's embarrassed that you fucking pulled him in front of everybody. Yeah, that happens sometimes. But then sometimes you bring somebody out, and you know they're laying on the beach, like sucking for breath, and everybody's clapping, and that's awesome.
Do you flex when everyone's clapping? Yeah.
I wish now that I thought to flex when they were clapping.
Well, like pretend you're not flex, but like just chill, look back, and be like, no, everybody just go back and enjoy the rest. But you're like putting on a flex while you're casual.
I was constantly that was the 8 hours I was a lifeguard, I was flexing that way. Because I had these little shorts on, so I was constantly flexed so that I looked diesel the whole 8 hours. And then once the shift was over and I could like put on a shirt and unflex, I'd be beat, dude. That's how, like, I didn't even lift that summer. That's how I stayed jacked.
Did you ever get it on with somebody that you saved?
No. It was usually a very overweight man, overweight bald man, or like a young child. So no.
Yeah.
No, it's never like a hot bikini girl that you have to save. They're in shape, like they can fucking swim.
Oh, that's true.
That's why their body's hot. Like they use their body for things. So like they're not gonna drown.
Right.
So like the only time you're gonna have to go save a hot bikini girl is if like she crashes on the rocks. And in that case, you're not like having sex with her anytime soon because she's fucked up.
Oh, that sounds like a great summer.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah, the second summer I was banging chicks, so it wasn't. I didn't have to go through the same thing. The next summer that I was down there,
did you utilize?
I popped my cherry at college, and then that summer I like gave up. I was like, all right, I gave up.
Did you get good at muff diving?
Nobody's ever said I got good at it. All I know is that I put in the work. All right. So, like, listen, if I put in the work, I put in more work than damn near any other man on this planet. And so if it didn't happen, it's not meant to happen. Okay. If you were just born good at it, then fuck you. I'm the one who put in the work.
I always bring up the summer of 99 and then almost immediately regret that summer. I bring it up and then I hate it the whole time.
Oh my god.
I think that's the title of the episode, actually. Summer of 99. We just peaked. We just, much like Siege, we peaked with the summer of 99.
I definitely did. It's been all downhill since then. I feel like we got to get off this topic because I'm taking up the whole show with summer 99 and like it's not even fair to put the microscope on that.
Let's
summer
move on. Let's
no
move
it's
on.
Time to shine a spotlight on Siege because nobody gave him the recognition he deserved. He's a hero by day and a hero by night. He's the fucking best.
I never thought of it that way, Kate. Have you?
No,
I was keeping everybody safe during the day, and I was changing lives at night for the better.
But I'm convinced that Siege has ruined some of these women's lives because it was so romantic. They got kissed down their body. You even said it was like a Top Gun sex scene. Like, I gave them this, like, night, and, like, you know, and then, like, they never saw him again. And now they're in this, like, relationship with their husbands who we don't know what it's like. They just can't stop thinking about that lifeguard, you know? So he was a hero, but he may have damaged these women as well.
Is that the way it works?
I feel
though,
like women are too easily damaged. It's like you never know it's going to damage them. You know what I mean? It's like there's anything could damage them. So I can't really hold myself responsible for that kind of stuff.
Fine. Well, women want romance. A lot of women want to be kissed down like that. Do you know what I mean? So, like, you get that. Like, you think it's probably, you're like, oh my God, I hit the jackpot. And then it's just with the summer of 99.
Yeah.
Isn't it just like a woman that she turned it around and you ruined their lives by giving them that amazing experience? I think that this guy, he should never have to pay for a beer again when he's down the shore. He should be a hero. They should retire his number, whatever. Did they give you numbers as a lifeguard?
No,
if they
didn't
do,
have
they should
numbers,
retire.
No, we had a lifeguard stand. I was on Queen Street Beach.
Okay. The legend of Queen Street.
Yeah. Yeah. But I wouldn't ever. I would never take a girl to Queen Street to do it with because then she might come to the stand. Then she knows which stand you're at and she might come to the stand the next day and you're not really sure if you want that because it could be several girls that week. They all leave in a week.
But didn't you meet them when you were on the stand? Or
many of them, yes. But this is how it would work. I would recruit ones for the party on my stand. And we'd have friends on other stands recruiting for the party, too. The ones you get with may not be the ones who are on your stand. And then, so a lot of the time, you know, because it's just the collection that comes to the party. And so a lot of the time, you don't necessarily want them to know where yours is. Because that's like your job. Like, they're showing up at your job. And there might be other girls there at your job. And then, like, that's just a whole ordeal.
Yeah, it got a lot creepier when you explained the mechanics behind it. I didn't want to know. I didn't want to know how the sausage was made. You guys are you're recruiting girls to go to...
It's the creepiest thing in the world, man. I was like, I went because I was like, I was a kid. I was like, I love the beach, man. I love to swim.
And you ruin these girls' lives.
And then they're like... And then the older lifeguards get you and they're like, hey, man, how you doing? You want to come to a party tonight? And they're like, why don't you get them chicks? Why don't you go talk to them chicks over there? You know, they turned to me.
By the way, those older lifeguards, those like, hey, get those chicks over there. What were they, 21? What are you talking
about? Maybe 20. Yeah, something like that. But to me, they're old grizzled perverts to me.
The pervert game ages you quick.
I was an 18-year-old virgin, dude, and then these old 20-year-old perverts, man. I don't know. old grizzle perverts. They turned me.
Oh my God.
It wasn't my fault, dude. I was a victim.
I think you've got a lot to be proud of.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
No problem. So we kind of touched on this real quick, but we have to talk about, did your weightlifting with CG John, did it affect your bullying capability? I'm trying to segue for it.
For my bullying? Listen, bullying in movies and TV shows always gets it wrong. It's some diabolical asshole that wants to destroy a nerdy kid's life. And what bullying is in real life is a well-adjusted, happy kid with friends that doesn't even know that the nerd exists. And then the nerd does something and the cool kid laughs at him. And that's pretty much the end of it. And then the nerd's like, he bullied me. And it's like, what? I didn't remember we ever spoke. And that's the bullying that I did. I didn't actually fuck with kids.
What about that paintballing day? John went paintballing. I won't mention the name, but there was one kid who was a nice kid behind a bush, and John just like got in like gladiator mode and took the paintball and like over the bush just kept shooting this kid.
So there was some kids that were...
He was the nicest kid in the world, that kid.
He really was.
That kid was the nicest kid in the world.
We got invited because we were on the same bus stop as these kids. And they asked us if we wanted to paintball.
And we were smart, too. They were nerds. They were really smart nerds. But me and Cobb were in the real smart nerd classes with them. So, like, we were down. We were down with them. We had a certain respect for each other that way.
And we had to okay with each other because it's like, you're in? All right, then I'm in. You're definitely in? You can't say yes and go without each other. So we went, and we didn't go to try to act cooler than them or try to like look down. These are nice kids. Like, we weren't dicks like that. But, you know, in the heat of combat, things got a little bit crazy.
Yeah. When there's competition and there's someone much weaker than you in a competition, you just want to stomp them into the ground. You stomp them into the fucking ground. That's what happened. All right. John, so they invited us.
By the way, are the listeners aware that Siege is about 6'5", 230? He's actually scary. Imagine him going down on you, ladies.
I'm about 250. No, I was back then. I was less weight. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, all the he was ferocious though. He was a mean man out in those fields. Yeah, and we shot those kids up, and
We shot the bullshit out of those kids,
and we talked a lot of shit.
They were just like, "Hey, wouldn't it be fun to have some good athletes along in this trip? That would be fun." It wasn't fucking fun.
So one of the rules that they announced before we got started was that if you snuck up on someone, if you're within 10 feet, you have the opportunity to say, "I surrender." And I jumped out of a bush in front of this kid who yelled, "I surrender," like 6 times. And I must have shot him like 15 times. Like, it kind of makes you sympathetic for cops with the itchy trigger fingers. Like, you get nervous and you just start. And of course, this is paintballs. They're fine.
Yeah, like, no. I actually was getting my ass kicked in paintball. I didn't know how to do it at all. I was like trying to, like, I'm used to like games like football where you're straight up and it's just me against you and I run you over type thing. This, like, you hide in the bushes and nerds are shooting me from treetops and shit like that. They were fucking me up. They were loving every second of it. Coppa was fucking them up though. So he got, like, for the good team, he got us. But like, I was getting fucked up by those nerds, bro. Yo, they were cool. No, I don't even want to say nerds because they're, I like.
That's fine. You only said it like 30 times.
I really like those kids. I still do. If I saw them, I'm like excited because.
Dude, I'd buy their nerdy ass a drink.
I have a lot of fun in those smart classes with those kids. And anyway,
kids.
I don't want to be too much of a dick about it. But yeah, no. They were fucking me up from the treetops, bro.
And you're nice. I probably wasn't killing it, but you just were building up my self-esteem. And on the way home, she just like, Koppel, you were killing everyone. And by the time I got home, like, I'm really good at paintball.
I wasn't. They like knew how to play. Like they had camouflage gear and their own paintball guns and shit like that. Like they knew where to hide. They had strategies and shit like that. Like, no, we weren't no match for them. They knew. They invited us because they knew where they were going to fuck us up. And that's why you jumped out of the woods and destroyed that poor bastard's life.
I apologize for nothing.
Exactly. Exactly. We were the dude, we were the prey in that situation. We were invited. It was like that movie with Ice-T.
Ice-T, surviving the game. That's exactly what I was thinking. They knew what it was. They set us up.
Hey, you guys want a job? It pays like $5,000 a week. And we're like, yeah, motherfucker. Let's go. And then they hunted us. They hunted us for fucking sport, dude. It was fucked up. I'm glad you got that kid. I'm glad you got that bastard what he deserved.
Siege, what did we say when they asked us?
With his pudgy ass. I forget. I mean, what do you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah, motherfucker. I want a job. That's what Ice-T said. Well, actually, no, he wouldn't go as far. He was like, what kind of motherfucker going to offer me a job for $5,000 a week when I'm a homeless motherfucker out here? And then they had to convince him. And then finally he was like, all right, man, let's go. And like he got on the plane. And was like, man, what the fuck y'all doing up in this lodge and shit? Eating, got antlers on the wall. And, you know, it was that kind of movie. It was great, though. But we were him.
By the way, I thought that I loved that movie more than anyone. But you just are quoting it. And I'm pretty sure you got it all verbatim. How many times have you seen that movie?
No, dude. Like, twice. But once was, like, 5 days ago. Swear to God.
Okay.
Somebody put it on like 5 days ago and I was like, what the fuck is this movie? But I watched it. If you watch it today, it is so ridiculous.
In a good way?
In the worst way that a movie can be.
Did you watch the whole thing though?
I had to. A friend of mine put it on. He was like, we gotta watch it, man. Because there was a new movie we were about to watch. He's into watching like there was a new movie we're about to watch called The Hunt, and it's kind of like that. And so he goes back and he gets the movie that's kind of like it to warm us up for that movie. And it was a thing. I had to do it.
So you watched like four straight hours of people hunting each other?
No, the day before or like a few days before, we had like a movie schedule going on, man. It's my life, man.
Yeah, dude, you still hang out like a kid. Because I think about back in the day, you would hang out with somebody all weekend long. You'd sleep at their house, hang out all day, then they'd sleep at your house, then you'd hang out all day Sunday, and then you'd see each other at school on Monday, be like, what's up, Siege? Like,
yeah.
And be genuinely excited. Dude, now if I hang out with somebody for like 2 hours, I'm not calling that person for 2 weeks. Like we're good. We got it.
Oh, dude, 3 months for me, dude. Half hour. We're cool, man. We caught up. See you in another few years. No. I guess just like being a grown up does that shit to you. You can't just kill time when you feel like it anymore. Like you have like kids and responsibilities, and like you have to make love to your wife and stuff like that. Exactly. We got a lot of jobs to do that now. Kate wants to move us on. Go ahead, Kate.
I want to talk about when CG and Cav, another friend of ours, that's his nickname, had to escape via train to only a couple towns over because they thought they were going to jail. I'll let you guys take over from here and explain this story.
Well, should I explain?
The story starts at Koppel's house after me and Cav leave. That's when the story starts.
I had some people over. Cav and Siege take off, and I've got our mutual friend over. I won't say his name. Let's call him Dave.
He's a great guy, nicest guy.
Great
in the
guy.
World.
Dude, he's you're a talking doctor. Like 100% approval rating on this guy.
The best person in the world.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hanging out. Let's tell the story. I'm hanging out with Dave, and me and my two best friends, Siege and Cav, had talked about beforehand. Like, yo, we need to get Dave high, because he's so cool. And like, we were potheads at the time. We're like, we need to get Dave involved in this whole thing.
Like, he never gets high. Like, he's always playing sports and always, like, you know, studying and stuff like that. And like, doing stand up things, going to synagogue, you know,
it was ninth grade.
You better get him high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ninth sounds right.
So after everybody takes off, I had two big fat joints and I go down into the basement, the unfinished part of the basement of my house. And I smoke them with Dave, and and then we go upstairs, and we're having our snacks, and we're hanging out, and I started fucking around. I had Dave cracking up about something, and he's just, dude, he's bawling out, having such a good time, and he's a great laugher, but I'm like, my mom's upstairs, like, all right, dude. It's a little bit much. We got to get downstairs. And he's having a hard time catching his breath. He's like, I was like, just calm down. He goes, no, I can't breathe. You gotta call an ambulance. And I'm like, I don't think so. I think we just need to maybe go outside, get some fresh air. He's like, no, you gotta call an ambulance. Call a fucking ambulance. Call it. I'm like, holy shit, because now he's screaming and there's nothing. I'm like, oh no, my mom's going to come downstairs. I'm like, fuck it. So I picked up the phone and I called 911 on myself. And it's like, 911, what's the emergency? I was like, my friend thinks he's having a heart attack, but he's not. He's fine. I'm still trying to shame him.
To the 911 dispatch, you shamed him.
Yeah, and she's, I wish I had the tape of it. It's like, well, what seems to be the problem? Is like, we were smoking some pot, and he thinks he can't breathe, and I guess I need some help. Like, just like, you've never called the cops on yourself. It's a bad feeling. So, smash cut 5 minutes later, I got police, I got ambulance. My mom.
Upper Dublin, they ain't doing nothing else. Oh, no,
they
can't
nothing else. My
Everybody
mom
responded to your house, bro.
My mom came downstairs while I was like on the phone. I'm like, yeah, I need an ambulance because my friend is high. My mom's like, what is going on? So his parents are there because my mom called them. It's the middle of the night. And then the cops, they want to know, it's like, what else did you do? Where are the drugs? I'm like, it's just pot. You expect us to believe that it's just pot? Like, I know, it's crazy. And I had to take
You were
them.
Like, no, you guys, he's acting like a real queer, but it was just pot. I promise.
Dude, I had to show them where we smoked. They were like, what did you smoke? Two joints. Show us where you smoked it. And I show them. They're like, there's not evidence of smoking two joints. Like, yeah, well, I didn't want to get caught. Like, I didn't know I was gonna have to prove that I did smoke two joints. God damn it. So then he left and my mom made me grilled cheese and we talked the whole thing over, and the next day, oh, I'm sorry, before they left, the cops asked me where I got the drugs, and I told them that I can't tell you that, and they
said, and then, you're so nice to them.
They didn't like me for some reason.
That, guys.
And then the one cop pulled me aside and told me that if I didn't tell him that my mom was going to get arrested. I was like, oh, it's Cav and Siege. It's like, it's my... So I rolled over when they said that.
That is the dirtiest cop move ever. I can't believe they did that to your fucking 14-year-old ass. Your mom is going to go to jail. If you don't tell us,
we'll have no choice.
We have to find that cop and get him locked up. We have to find him, dude.
I've been retired for 20 years.
But like, and then you fucking dime on me and Cav.
I did, and then my mom's going to jail. I was like, I can't have my mom. Who's going to make me a grilled cheese for my mom?
Like, why couldn't you just say, like, one of us? Like, you it had to be both of us? Like, you, two people had to get fucked over instead of just one?
I don't get it, man. I figured that it, at least, what did I think? I was like, it's not as bad if I give up two people's names.
Or like someone we weren't friends with, like someone, you know, not your two best friends in the world.
It was
my two best friends that I've ever known, officer. Here's their addresses.
Honestly, I don't know where I would be without them.
And here's exactly where you can find them right now. These are their parents' names and their brothers and sisters' names. Please leave my mom alone. She's great. She makes great grilled cheese, and she buys us Reese's Puffs that we eat when we're high.
You guys slept at your place that night, right?
I have no idea.
I know that you guys crashed in the same place, but and I called you the next morning.
Except for escaping to Orland. That's the part that I remember. And now, mind you, audience, Orland train station. Me and Cav, we didn't drive yet. We didn't have cars. So we had to go to the train station. And I guess Ambler's the one we went to. And then two stops away is Orland. You could probably jog there. It's probably a mile and a half. We decided we had to run. We had to get out of town. And we went to Orland. Because there was like a drugstore there, I think, that sold us cigs, even though we were fucking 14. And the youngest looking 14-year-old kids you ever saw, too. We didn't have beards or anything. We were just fucking really young-ass looking white kids.
Wear Pacific Sunwear clothes, like looking like such.
Yeah, exactly. With hacky sacks and shit. Like we go in there, yeah, and I'm like, sure, kids. It was like the right kind of guy. Like didn't give a fuck. But yeah, good so people. We escaped to Orland. And then did anything ever happen? Did they come hunt us down?
No.
I feel like we were probably on like a watch list after that.
I know I was never like, allowed to hang out with Dave again.
Now, because of your mom or because of Dave's parents? Because
of Dave's parents.
You were a piece of shit. For getting Dave high. Oh, man.
Well, and then a couple years later.
Another disclaimer. Dave is the best person I know in the world.
He's okay. Fantastic.
Let's continue. I'm not even kidding.
Well, now I'm going to trash Dave a little bit more, but a couple of years later, he started smoking pot, and I had friends that got high with him, and I said to anybody that would listen, anybody I knew that ever got high with Dave, I said, listen, he's the best. I adore the guy, but you need to not smoke weed with him. It's a bad idea. And then he did the same shit. The same exact thing. He freaked out and made people call 911 for him. So listen, there's some people that are all right. You just don't need to get down with on that level.
But then listen. And then he became a doctor so he can help those poor kids who call 911 because they freaked out because they smoked some weed. And now he makes them feel better. So like, I love the guy.
Yeah.
I love him to death.
Mm-hmm. It comes full circle.
I wish he would suggest a podcasting. That would be amazing to have a podcast. You'd have to say his name.
Yeah, you should have another podcast with people from high school that can explain what a bunch of douchebags Siege and I were. Because I think I deserve it.
Oh my God. I'd be
friends with you guys if y'all were douchebags.
Are you sure?
Yeah. You guys are sweethearts. Like, you're tough and you're funny, but, like, y'all are really, like, you guys are the best people I know. I mean, and there are other people that are great, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, two of the best.
Best people you know.
Yeah. <Wow.
laughs> Yeah, she's in the comedy game. It's just full of terrible people. It's the worst people.
I feel like you might have been living in the gutter for a while if, no, I'm just kidding. Thanks, Kate. You're an angel.
You are.
I mean it. You guys are like my faves.
And I probably wouldn't be saying that if you weren't still pretty stacked. But you are an angel.
A well-endowed angel, the best
I'm going to be open and honest on these things like you told me before we started. Okay?
We gave Siege a pep talk before we started. You'll be just fine. And Siege's like, I'm going to be so good. I'm not going to say anything bad. I'm best behavior.
No, I said, like, I can be kind of offensive in real life. And then this is in front of a live audience or something.
It's not a live audience.
Oh, it's not a live audience?
No, I'm going to edit this after and put it, release it. It'll be up tonight, but, like, then you can listen to it on, like, Apple, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify.
Oh, I guess wow.
Like a plug for it. I didn't mean for it to be. But yeah. But no, it's not live.
I so like that.
Watching it right now.
Okay. Oh, good. Oh.
That's, wow. That's why I said if somehow we hated this, I could always not release it. But I knew it was going to go great.
Yeah. And it's purely audio.
Oh, no.
They're not
I definitely
see
wanted
you.
Erased. I definitely wanted erased at this point. Now that I know that there isn't a live audience listening, I definitely I'm just fucking around. Oh my god. I feel like people kind of already know that I'm a scumbag a little bit, and so like they're not going to be that shocked. So you
why
can
would
release,
you say that? That's a terrible thing to say.
I'm sorry, audience.
Yeah. Thank you're loved. You're a treasure.
You're fucking funny. And you're honest. You're definitely not PC. I'll say that.
Thanks.
You're one of the only people that's really fucking honest with me. Because I can be tough. I can be scary. But Siege will definitely tell me if I'm out of pocket. You will let me know. And that can't be easy.
I tried to get Kate to do a naked podcast so we'd all be more comfortable. But she declined. You what never... a bitch.
Yo!
Just kidding, Kate. You're great.
Kate is so uptight. She's never naked for our podcast. Ever.
I know, dude. It's like a hard work environment to be in. All the chicks got their clothes on and everything. Sucks. Is this almost over?
Oh!
Just kidding, Kate. I'm sorry.
So do you want to talk about this? I don't know if we have time like to really delve. Well, actually it won't be that long. Do you want to talk about the soft dick pics, Siege, your idea?
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking that I know that I had some girls send me some photos. So what do you call it? Sexting? It's called sexting, right?
Yeah,
that's what the kids are calling it. The kids are all calling it sexting, audience.
It's not okay? Some girls, it's me.
Oh, I didn't know that you wanted that said on there. Okay, so
it sounds worse when it sounds like you're sexting all these chicks. But let's not be specific exactly.
Sounds worse for who? I think it makes me sound cool if it's just like, you know, random chicks send me stuff instead of being like, yeah, Kate send me some stuff.
Let's call her Kaylee.
Okay.
Kaylee got Haley over.
Now I totally regret bringing up this whole topic.
To take some naked pics. I thought that's where the story starts, Kate.
Okay. CG is very hard on me, I think. I know I can be a pain in the ass at times, but like I came in to this dude's life about a year ago. Like, full on, like, I'm here for you, whatever you need, I got you. Now, I found a way for him to see some sexy pictures of myself.
Which I needed at the time.
And
it was a hard time for me, and I needed at the time.
Sure, yes. But he didn't I can't go into the full thing about what the pictures were like, but I thought they were super sexy.
I requested certain poses. She said, hey, Siege, I'm having my friend over. What should we do?
No, CG Erickson! No.
And I said, sorry. All right, should I not go on?
You requested specific poses?
She fucking asked me. She said, hey, I got a friend over. Oh. We're just like,
okay, hold on. I did not do any lesbian stuff.
No, you didn't. You didn't.
I didn't even want to. Okay. A girlfriend.
I had been encouraging her to do lesbian stuff. And her and her friends wouldn't do it. I was trying to get her and her friend to do lesbian stuff because I thought that was rad. But she wouldn't do it. But they wouldn't do it. But instead she said, wait, we can take you some sexy pics. What should we do? She asked me what she should do. And I told her like 5 different poses to do. And don't stare straight into the camera like you caught me peeping in your window. You know, because, you know, she sent a picture before that kind of looked like that. I said, you know, not as much eye contact with the camera, like, and some other ideas. And she sent some naked girl pics with 2 chicks naked. And I sent them back a soft dick pic because she didn't follow my directions. It wasn't that they weren't good, but it was like, it was like,
can you imagine?
Didn't follow directions.
Wait, you sent a soft dick pic to show your displeasure?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, and so I thought that should really catch on. I thought, like, sending, like, no one anywhere wants to see a soft dick. No woman, no man, no one wants to see a soft dick. So it's like, to me, it's about the funniest thing that you can send to someone is a picture of your soft dick.
Nobody's done it with Brett Favre. I didn't know anybody did that anymore.
I want to make it a thing. I want to make it a thing where people do that. Not me necessarily. But people,
you had to bite the bullet to be the first.
Yeah, like I want to I want to nudge all my friends to send soft dick pics to girls and stuff like that when they're, you know, you get the girl to send you hot pictures and then you send them back a picture of your soft dick. And it's just hilarious. It's just
the
it's
most
just to laugh about.
Unappreciative man.
It shows them where you stand. It puts you on higher ground.
I would never have done any of this for any other human. Okay. I was at least very celibate. And like,
listen, I didn't really send her the pic. I joked about that I was gonna send it. I didn't actually send one.
It was still
I know.
It
would have
been way cooler.
To tell the story, I had to say that I did so people would realize how funny it would be. But all I was talking about is how funny it would be. So
it was still very, like, it was unreal to, like, because I normally don't do that. But, like, to take pictures that I thought were, like, so sexy, so hot, you know what I mean? Like, and to send them, and to see for Siege to have that reaction, I was like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I think basically that makes my dick soft.
She called me and basically was like, hey, did you get them? And I was like, wah, wah, you know, that kind of thing. Like, she was really excited. And it wasn't that the bodies didn't look good. It wasn't that. It was that she failed to follow any directions. Like, she asked me, what are the directions? And then she just did all her own shit, staring straight in the camera.
You're so spoiled.
Isn't
it? Dude, you're getting naked pics from this woman who we already have it well established that you find her to be sexy. You've been talking about it for an hour plus.
Yeah,
and she sends you naked pics, and your response is, fuck that. You didn't listen to directions.
Yeah.
Not only
I mean, it sounds harsh when you say it like that, but it wasn't harsh.
Emotional component of like, he makes fun of me. What do you say? Like, I would die on a sword for you. He makes fun of me for that. I'm like, bitch. Like,
wow. So he makes fun of you when you're figuratively naked and literally naked.
Yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't make fun of me at, well, he doesn't make fun of me being naked.
I get it.
Yeah, no, it's pretty legit. It's pretty legit when she's naked on like FaceTime, and then I can't like I don't really. It kind of freezes me up, so I don't have much to say.
You can't be rude.
That knocks like the wise ass right out of you.
Like I'm a lot nicer. I'm like, so how's your day? I like your new haircut. I'm like, where did you get those earrings? Claire's Boutique? It's my favorite. I love them all. Yeah, I'm like, I turn into like a, I don't know, like a pussy.
That's not a pussy to be like sweet, CJ.
That is a major pussy.
No. When you accidentally slip and you're sweet, I'm like, oh, but I try not to like swim in it too much because I know it may be fleeting.
I'm sweet.
Okay. Dude, I think you're sweet. I don't know. You're munching box, you're complimenting exactly. Earrings. You're incredible. Yeah. What a catch.
Yeah, see?
I get it.
Couple knows.
Yeah. I know a good man when I see one.
Yeah.
Miss you, buddy.
So you want to start like a movement where you turn the soft penis into gonzo. Because if you look
So I figured I was going to paint it purple and then paint eyes on the top so that it's gonzo from the Muppets. You know what I'm saying? So people start sending you like, you know, you got gonzoed. And then, you know, it's like, and then you got gonzo. But then Kate said, why don't you lay upside down so that you can draw the eyes on the nutsack? And then that's the gonzo. And yeah. I was like, wow.
That's genius. Such disgusting imagery. By the way,
she was going to paint it. But I think it might be blue. I think it might be blue, but I like to say purple. I don't know why.
By the way, that would be a gorgeous painting, and I'll commission that painting right now. Breathtaking. But yeah. Wasn't the whole point of the soft penis pick to insult? And if you put through that much effort, like it's more insulting. You're like, yeah, wonk. There's that. you're like, I hated that so much. I'm gonna take 6 hours to put together the perfect.
No, that was the point at the beginning, but then it evolved. Mm. There was an evolution, and it turned into artwork. Now it's artwork.
I could not get over the rudeness of it. Like a part of me, like, you know, when I'm like shaken and I'm like, ugh! Like, so I send these sexy pictures. He's like, I'm going to send back a soft dick pic. I was like, yo, this dude.
Like, this is the best day ever.
I was just like,
what's funny is at the time, also at the time, I didn't have a phone. I was... Should that be a part of it? No? Maybe?
Started it. Finished it.
All right. So I was in a mental hospital for a stint. And I didn't have a phone. So I would call Kate.
Private? What did you just say?
I said I was in a mental hospital for a stint. And I would use the patient phone to call Kate. I didn't have a cell phone. But she definitely wanted to get me these pics. So the only way to get them was to send them through like a guard who had a phone in the hospital. So like anytime she had to send me something, some guard would have to see the naked pics before they got to me. Before they got to me.
He liked them.
Do you think some chicks could send some naked pics through your phone? Like because probably he could like go to jail for that maybe or something. I'm not really sure. But like
No.
I don't think so. An adult lady sends you naked pics.
Maybe not. I don't know the laws. Who knows the laws?
He's sending naked pictures, by the way, to a dude who's getting lots of pictures from other women or any from other women. I just want to make that clear. So when you say like you were getting this like chicks, I need for my own reputation to make that clear. Okay. Because there's a certain context.
You were the one sending them.
You're making me sound slutty and it ain't like that. Yeah. It was me sending, not some, it was me. Yes. There was another person in it. Anyway. So we had to send it to someone else's phone. So
how am I making you sound sluttier than you're making yourself sound right now?
Yeah.
You said you and your friend sent him. No, sorry. I don't know how to do these things.
No, you're doing great.
You're doing great.
I mean, look.
Good.
I'm obviously none. I'll, you know, whatever. Yeah, but that's like you. I don't know. I don't think I can really call myself celibate at this point, even though I haven't been physically penetrated.
Well, wait. I don't think we've finished with this yet. Because it was going to be the Gonzo. She decided she'd paint it. I had to do some convincing for a while. She was like, I'm not touching a soft penis. I'm not. And I was like, was like, it won't. If I touch it, it's not going to stay soft anyway. And I was like, you might be right. but you know, stuff like that. And then she decided, you know, she's an artist. And I kind of worked that angle. Like, listen, you're the artist. You're the only one who can do this. Like, you're the only one who can pull this off. And she was like, you know what? I think you're right, Siege. I think we're going to do this. And then, so she's going to paint it. And then she decided she's going to make stuff like, you know, a lion with like, you know, it's got a big furry mane around it. And like, all sorts of, we could have a gallery.
An elephant.
Of soft dick, like artwork.
Yeah.
An elephant. Yeah, that's what you said, with big floppy ears.
And a trunk. Yeah.
And yeah, the trunk is the part that makes that. I guess you're going to have to paint the ears. But
yeah.
there'd be a whole gallery.
Yeah, this is where CG and I let the world know to wait for our art installation. We're going to be showing all these at a gallery in Philly. This is how we're going to get rich.
Listen, we didn't paint any of these yet. And so if one of you people out there do it before us, then fuck you. Okay? Oh. It's our
idea. We're on record. It's right here. This is documented for posterity. The idea was yours, and you guys are true artists. I'm excited.
But then how do you know that I didn't just like see somebody doing that and just I said it on the podcast like it was my idea?
You know what I mean? We need to get to work right now.
We need to start painting this shit.
I have the paints for you. I don't know if I'm allowed. We don't know yet if I'm allowed to be.
Are they like
that?
Can you use them on a dick? Is it safe?
I don't know. I think so.
You got to read the fine print.
You can't just use any paint for this, Kate. You don't have the paint yet. We have to order special paint.
You gotta order penis paint.
It's not just the paint you use on your fucking easel, all right?
I know. You need
special paint for this shit.
No, I have face paint. It's face paint. So safe for your skin.
I don't want a permanent purple dick.
Oh, wow.
It stains your dick. You have a weird purple blue dick after for like a year.
Like I'll at parties at night and stuff, like when like the last people here, like it'll just be me and John hanging out, like drinking like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, yo, bro, I gotta tell you something. Like, my dick's purple. You know, and he's like, seriously? I'm like, the only one who knows my wife, man. I mean, I had to tell somebody, I had to get it off my chest. And he's gonna be like, I'm glad we had this fucking bro sesh, dude. I'll see you next weekend.
We're gonna use really safe paints. Okay. Like,
yeah.
Be no staining. We'll make sure it's A-OK.
What about the brushes? I want them to be like rabbit fur, like something real soft. The brushes.
This is what do I'm they saying. Make, picky.
Do they
we're using the brushes I have, and it's going to be, we're gonna make real masterpieces here. CG wanted to be vagina.
Stop making demands. Act like a professional while you're having your penis painted.
Listen, I feel like Kate doesn't care if it like scratches up my dick. Because in eighth grade, when she used to dry hump me in her double thick Wrangler jeans, she used to fuck my dick up.
Oh!
And she didn't give a shit. She'd still invite me back the next day and be like, man up. And I'm like, I'm not a man, I'm a boy.
Let me see that purple dick. Pull it out.
I'd be like, I'm not a man, I'm a boy. I'm actually just a boy. I'm like 13. But okay, I'm sure I'll come over again.
Okay, hold
and
on.
You, yes, definitely wear your double thick Wrangler mom jeans while we dry home.
Okay. I had no idea that I was banging CGI. Okay. If he had told me that that was happening, I was mortified. When I reconnected with CG a year ago and found him, and I found him the only one orgasming during those times. First of all, I already felt bad. But then when I found out I was like banging him up and like causing awful friction because of my jeans, I had no idea. You know what I
mean? You weren't the only one orgasming. That's not true.
No, definitely. Yeah. She was a rough one, and we both had double thick Wrangler jeans on. I don't know how she was coming through the jeans. I didn't know that was going on. Because I wasn't. I was absorbing the pain.
Oh my God. Dude, team player, man. I was
just absorbing pain. No, just like as a fucking like, you know, like I'm getting this done. This is really cool, so I need to do it. But like this hurts at the same time. Like, did you ever get a hand job from a really hot girl that was a really bad hand job and she was pulling like all nutsack skin and hair and shaft all at the same time? She's yanking. And then, but you don't have the heart to say like, you're killing me right now.
Yeah.
Because she's hot and you let it go.
Yeah, she's
on
giving
for
you that
while.
Truck stop hand job. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, it's kind of like that. Like, you don't have the heart to set, like she's really hot and you're like, yeah, that's what happened. I couldn't say. Well, I couldn't ruin the coolness.
Again, I apologize again. I did not know that was happening. And then finally he did speak up.
You didn't care.
I did care, you jerk.
You didn't care.
Yes, I did. I had no idea I was banging you up. I had no idea. If you had said to me
you
like...
You were a viper. You were a viper in those days.
All right, well, I just enjoy watching Kate back on her heels. I've never seen anybody paint her in a corner like this. This is incredible. Dude, he walked into your dojo and just fucking, waha! He just fucked you up.
I'm like, okay.
You'd
so-
be like, no, like 1 o'clock in the afternoon at school. I'm in middle school. I'm 13. Kate be like, 3 o'clock, Siege. My dad's picking me up. My dad's picking us up. And I'll be like, okay.
Okay, little victim.
You were scary. Back then.
You should have told me to wear mesh shorts way earlier, and it could have been a lot more fun for both of us.
I did. At one point, I had the balls to ask her to wear mesh shorts.
Well, let's.
I was like, hey, Kate, my boner's killing me. Maybe you could wear some mesh shorts next time.
Okay, so let's lead this to, we're going to end on than the Schlurber incident and how you were supposed to tell no one, but you told John, and here we are. So I'll tell it from my perspective. I know CG's a little different because I pictured it a lot more graceful than the way you describe it. But we were like making out. CG doesn't remember that we freaking kissed, and we did. That's
no
fault. Yes, we did.
No, we didn't fucking kiss, dude. I was her prostitute. She wouldn't kiss me because she was kind of dating Dave. She was seeing Dave. Yes, the same Dave from the other series, my friends.
That's why he laced his weed with PCP.
No. He was seeing... No. Kate assured me because I asked her when we were fucking around. I said, Aren't you going out with Dave? She said, no, I'm seeing Dave. Dave made up seeing. It means we can do stuff with other people. She said that or else I would have never done it.
That's when we first started doing stuff. Then I got back together with Dave. And you and I did not do stuff for months and months. And then when Dave...
I don't remember that break.
Well, there was. And you were dating people too. And then when I broke up with Dave officially that summer, I was getting it on with you a lot, but we were kissing, even though you don't remember. And one of the times we were like full making out, I get like something happened. Like I'd get like extra slutty with CG. Like I wasn't doing that stuff with like everyone at all. Like I went further with Siege than I did my boyfriend in middle school who I was, you know what I mean? Dave, like Dave never got as far. But like something, I think it was a comfort level, our connection. But like at some point, I guess I said, "Okay, I'll lick your dick."
Yeah, and you, but the way you tell the story, it's almost like I asked you and you said, "Okay, I'll lick your dick." But really, you were just like, "Hey, I'm gonna lick your dick." That's the real story. It's not like I asked and you said, sure. You were like, hey, I want to try something. Do you think it's cool? And I was like, yeah. And like, you unzipped my things and then you like turned my boner sideways and licked it sideways and then like zipped me back up. And I was like, ooh, that was cool.
It was just like a rite of passage. You know what I mean? Like,
that was a rite of passage?
Was it? Because it kind of sucked.
Wait, nobody licked my dick in eighth grade. I wish that was a rite of passage.
Yeah, well,
like, nobody told me. Well, Siege told me we were working out.
That it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Well, I promised. Pinky promised me he was going to tell no one. I didn't tell anyone. Now you can go, John, about what happened.
Well, in fairness, he probably didn't mention anything for at least 2 hours. And I'm over there. We're working out. By the way, this is just like another tale in the odyssey of like when he was going over there getting it on with you. And in eighth grade, if you're me and you're hearing these stories, it might as well have been like stories of him going to like wild ass swinger parties. Because just dry humping, I'm like, you for real? Tell me more. Like, I was just, my jaws on the floor, like, and you, she let you squeeze him? Seriously? So. So when he's told me, it's like, dude, you know what she did today? She licked my dick. I'm like, she licked your crazy dick? And I was like, was it awesome? He's like, hell yeah, it was awesome. She just licked it. And somehow I think that was like, that conversation had to have been at least 20 minutes. Like, tell me more. Did she make a face afterwards?
Oh my God. So
it was very exciting.
I had come up with the name Schlurbert for it because it wasn't a blowjob. So then...
What is the name? Is it a blend of two different words, like sherbert and lick?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, but like, to me it made sense. And then I remember being at a party. I guess it was like high school at this point. We're at a party and Koppel just walks past me. I forget if you said Schlurbert or I heard that you licked his dick, but... Koppel just, yes, you did. Fine, you say.
I deny the story. Because this is the way I remember it. Kate, this is the way I remember it.
Okay.
So Kate and I reconnected through comedy and have like over the course of years went from like great to be like acquaintances again to really good friends. And when Kate was asking me how everybody was doing, and it's like, how about Siege? And I was like, holy shit. I guess I need to tell you that Siege is in a mental institution. And I told that story. And she goes, oh my God, that's breaking my heart. You know, we were really close. I'm like, yeah, I know you licked his dick. So I just need it to be reflected that I have the comedic timing to hold on to it and not drop it until it was a really perfect moment.
No, there was a party in high school where you let it slip. You had to say to me, you said to me, it was like months or maybe even a year after the event, but you caved, John, and you said, I heard. And I stormed up to CG at that party. I remember. And I was like yelling at you. And Siege was like half pretending to almost be Siege was like kind of pretending to feel bad, but overall, like, he was like laughing at me.
I was like, oh my God, he said something. Oh my God, Kate. I would never tell him. How'd he find out? Like, how did he find out? He must have been peeking in the window. Kate, oh my God. Guys, my phone battery is about to run out.
Okay, let's wrap this up. So,
I'm sorry, I suck.
No, it's good. It's gone past an hour. Siege, where do you want people to find you? Are you on social media yet? Do you not want to be found?
No, I'm not on yet.
Okay, but Siege will eventually probably maybe be on some social media, and then when you come back,
I'm gonna get it going soon enough. Yeah.
And then when he comes back on, we'll promote whatever you're on, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you can promote them.
Oh, yeah, all we'll right. Promote your crazy art with your penis elephants.
Yes.
All right, good.
Where can the listeners find you?
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, listen to Peaks podcasts. It's, you know, mostly about the shit that we talked about today. I'm kidding. It's not about that stuff at all, but it's a great podcast. Look it up. You're sure to enjoy it. Season 2 is going to start soon. Season 1 is in the books, but you'll find it, and it's all evergreen. So go back, listen to all of them. You're going to love it.
Yes. And for me, if you want a healing, my email is kwolf2fs27@gmail.com. And thank everyone. Thank you all for listening. Bye.
Thanks, Kate.